Hi, this is Alina Loktiva of Ugly Cake Cider, located in Moscow, Russia, and you are listening to Cider Chat. Moscow, Russia. Russia.
Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And if you haven't heard that intro music, well, you are definitely a newbie to Cider Chat, because this intro jazz is the original, the OG of a Cider Chat, and I thought it was just perfect to bring in Russia's Cider Party, the event coordinator, and the woman behind Ugly Cake Cider, and to introduce you to part one of a four-part series featuring Russian cider makers. We're going to get to that really soon, but first, a wee bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Oh, that music just brings me back to the year 2015, when life was so different. There was no pandemic. We were freely going around and drinking cider. I posted it right before Franklin County Cider Days. Since that time in 2015, I've been recording with, it almost feels like every country in the world, but there are so many places that I haven't tapped into, and I am talking to you, if you're listening right now, different parts of the world that I would really like to hear what you're doing with your apples, what's happening in Africa, South Africa specifically, and probably other parts I don't know. China is another open book, just waiting to be shared, and just everywhere. So I could go on with that, but I'm not going to. I'm just kind of like in a frenzy today because I'm stoked for this four-part series that I'm introducing this week. It's a recording I've been sitting on for a while, which makes it so fun to share it with you in this here episode 232. But before we get to our conversation with the Russian cider makers featuring in this episode, Alina of Ugly Cake Cider, I'd like to share with you a bit of news out and about in Ciderville that's been coming my way. So let's take a little pause here, and I'll be right back. Last week, I pulled out my Cider Chat Happy Dance shoes and did a little jig when I saw three emails come in from Patreon. Now, Patreon is a website that helps content providers like myself keep on producing our work through the support of listeners. And I really rely on Patreon and just, you know, the random donation that comes through to help support this work. It's just so integral to keeping this podcast on the air and paying for all the behind things that I have to do Cider Chat. So the first email was notifying me about a fellow who kind of like pulled me back a little bit because I knew that his wife was already donating to Cider Chat as a patron. And I think he knew that. I thought that was really cool, but it just really surprised me. Like, I don't want to be double dipping into like any family's like income set, and certainly not at this time. So I had to write him and ask like, what's up with that? So I won't know really what's up with that until I do a little bit of a FaceTime call with them. Now, this couple is none other than the Duck Chicken Cider Couple, the urban cidery based in South London. It's Colleen and James. And they're right now traveling, don't you know, during the worldwide pandemic. Somehow they're able to do this in Europe, which is kind of interesting. So they left London, and I think they're in Italy right now, camping on the beach. It just sounds delightful. So I'm going to be having a little cider with them when this here episode 232 goes live. We're going to do a little conversation. I'm going to find out what the scoop is. But James is just, first of all, he has the most amazing beard. One of those like giant beards. Soon it'll be like down to his toes, I swear. But they're just really gracious people. So thank you so much, James, for becoming a patron of Cider Chat. Let me get to my notes, take a little pause here, and I'll tell you the next person. It's just amazing. There are ongoing conversations all the time on Twitter that are taking place with folks both in the UK, Ireland, Scotland, and Western Europe. And because of that, I'm an avid fan of Twitter. I have a number of accounts here, but one for Cider Chat is at Cider Chat. So if you'd like to follow my Twitter account, please do. And I always love to follow cider people, cider makers, and what you're doing also. As such, I've been in some of these conversations and sometimes just like a little Twitter fly on the wall listening in. And one particular person has stood out to me over and over again. And I can't really figure out where he's from. In fact, I'm not really sure right now. I think he is an Irishman who I thought was making cider in Germany, but I think it's actually in Denmark. But we're going to find out because I have been following his Twitter feed for quite a while as he's always joining into conversations and lending a lot of info, which I really dig. And find out exactly what he's doing, because most recently, I think, he started a cidery called Kiltilreiter and is a cider maker and farmer. I always have a little bevy of questions that I ask new patrons, and this is what he wrote back. Hi, Rhea. I thought it was about time I gave a little support. I was talking about it, that being Cider Chat, with Albert, who has to be Albert Johnson of Ross on Wise Cider and Perry Company, and James and Colleen, who I was just talking about, last night. So he wrote this last week to me. He writes, it's me, at Barmas. That's B-A-R-M-A-S. You should totally follow this guy. And at Kiltilreiter on Twitter, at Kiltilreiter _ cider on Instagram. I think I started listening earlier last year, I believe on recommendations of a friend via Twitter. And Bone Dry Cider, as nature intended, is my favorite style of cider. So there you have it. I mean, you know, you just never know what social engagement will do. And I want to say, during this time when I'm not traveling anywhere, I barely leave my home, if I could avoid that, connecting with people who have the same passion, same interest with you is so integral to my own mental health and stability during a worldwide pandemic. So I'm really stoked to finally get to know a little bit more about Barry, and I'm looking forward to scheduling a episode with him coming up and sharing that with you. And a big tip of the glass to Robert Tennell, who just became a patron of Cider Chat too. Robert shared a bit of what he does, and frankly, I am floored, and it's starting to connect some dots out there in Ciderville. So allow me to share a bit of what he wrote with you. He writes, I have thus far only listened to a handful of episodes. I've only recently started consistently exploring podcasts. I really enjoy what I've heard thus far and appreciate your interviewing style. You actually let folks answer questions and don't try to dominate or inject your ego. Wish that was always the case with folks. I hope that's true, Robert. Sometimes I feel I'm a little bit pushy, but thank you anyways. He continues on with, for starters, let me say I am a filmmaker. And though I live in West Virginia, I have maintained a Hollywood career along with a successful production company. He also happens to know Josh Bennett of Hawk and Knob Hard Cider and Mead, which is a West Virginia producer. And I wrote to Robert and said, they have long been on my list to get on the podcast. It's just an episode that I really want to be able to record in person and blah, 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 blah. I will get to that eventually. I can't wait to have Hawk and Knob on this podcast. And I also wrote to Robert saying, I was screaming at the television when I was watching one of the last shows produced by Anthony Bourdain on his series. I was just floored when I saw that there he was hanging out with Josh Bennett and Hawk and Knob team and eating food, Bourdain himself, and drinking their cider. So that was really super awesome. He happens also to do a number of productions for that cidery because he loves cider so much, and I'm going to be putting a link in the show notes to check out one of them, if not all of them. Really nice work. So anyways, he continues on with, I moved back to West Virginia a long time ago because I was so tied to the land and wanted to raise my kids away from L.A. We live in town, but I have a 180-acre mountain property that we will soon be moving into. For the last few years, I've been developing an heirloom apple orchard based on permaculture principles. I still have a long way to go to have consistent cropping, but I am encouraged. We got interested in making cider around 2012. I have my great-grandmother's cider press, which is nice. I am far from an obsessive type. I have stumbled along and occasionally make something good. My work has precluded me from any consistency, but I'm hoping that will change in 2021. Woo-hoo! That is super cool. Great-grandmother's cider press. Wow. You've got to get a photo of that one. Continues on with, I hope to ultimately get to 400 trees, only have about 60 thus far. Lots of golden russets, Harrisons, Albemarle pippins, and Hughes Virginia crabs with a smattering of one-off test trees, Cox Orange pippin, Roxbury russet, Nelson country crab, Winesap, Cava Blanc de Hiver. I also asked if he likes a particular style of cider, and he writes, very dry. My favorite, and this should be no surprise, are Hawk Knob's traditional and elderberry-infused cider. I love Albemarle Cider Works. The Sheltons are great people. That is so darn true. I enjoy their Albemarle Pippin Cider. I like most of theirs. Last November, I discovered Plowman Cider up in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I'm a big fan of what they do. And in regards to making cider, we have been remiss the last 2 years, only did very small batches as I was shooting or posting 2 movies. Plus, we are renovating a house, hoping to get back to normal this year. I love hearing about and learning about heirloom apples and appreciate that James Creek Cider House episode very much. And James Creek Cider House is based in North Carolina. So thank you so much, Robert. Thanks for becoming a patron. And how cool is that what you're doing? Tying a little bit of the Hollywood piece in, using your creativity to help promote cider. That is what it's all about. So glad to have you on as a patron of Cider Chat, and we'll be in touch.
Walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Up next is part one of a 4-part series featuring Russian cider makers. This year, 2020, I had the opportunity to meet a number of Russian cider makers, and it just was part of like serendipity that it all came together at the same time. It first began at CiderCon 2020 in Oakland when I finally got to meet up with Alex Nov of Rebel Apple Cider in Moscow, and you can listen to his chat in episode 216. Only a couple weeks later, I then made my way to Normandy, France and attended Cider Expo, which was a 3-day cider fest taking place in the city of Caen. And I knew that there was a number of Russian makers coming to that festival, and I had to have a sit down. Mostly this came about because a patron from Russia by the name of Maxim, who will also be part of this series, told me what was going to be taking place at Cider Expo. And he is the translator for this 4-part series, and a very fine cider maker in his own right. Leading up to Cider Expo, Maxim had written to me and said there's about 12 cider makers. I think it actually turned out to be 20 people that came from Russia and attended Cider Expo in Normandy. And as you might be doing now, I immediately started kind of, well, letting the wheels turn in my head and try to picture, well, who are these cider makers? And frankly, I was thinking it was going to be all men that I'd be talking to. But wouldn't you know, the day of this recording, which happened to be February 14th, 2020, which is Valentine's Day, I was sitting up in the room waiting for everyone to come along. Maxim told me there's going to be a total of 4 makers, including himself. And once the door opened, in walked 3 women and Maxim. So I was, just from the get-go, I was kind of floored because not only was I going to be able to hear about cider from Russia, but I was going to be able to hear from a woman's view, which really surprised me. And I'll be quite frank, I did not expect that. I didn't know who I was meeting. I had no idea. And that's what you're going to be hearing a little bit as we're going on in this series. I probably was sitting there with my mouth wide open like, wow. But these folks are so warm and so inviting and so passionate about cider that it just took a New York second for us to get the game going and get in on it. The first part one here that I'm going to be sharing with you is actually the person that we interviewed at the end of our probably like 2-hour conversation. And I'm going to be featuring Elena because of the role that she's currently playing in Russia, in that just about a week or so ago, the first ever cider party took place in Moscow. And Elena had a real big part in this. I'm not sure if she was the actual producer of the cider festival. I know it took place outside of a bar. And she wrote to me just actually this morning, came in, so it's pretty much perfect timing. She wrote, as for the festival, and she's referring to, I was asking her, how did it go? Because during the interview, they had told me that there was something that was going to take place in June, and I think that was canceled because of COVID and finally took place in July. She writes, as for the festival, it's called Cider Party because fest is too dangerous of a word for now. So I'm not really sure what that means, but sometimes that doesn't always translate so well to English, and we'll just leave it as at that. So she decided to organize all Russian cider makers together and do an event to popularize cider and bring face-to-face clients and producers and invite all the cider enthusiasts, bartenders, retailers, sommeliers, bloggers, and so on. Around 200 people in total attended, and they could try ciders and buy bottles or draft. She sent me a fantastic compliment of photos from the festival, and you could tell it was really a fun time with dancing and some DJs and a lot of cider. And she also wrote that, and this will be a little bit that you're hearing here in this very short mini clip that I have talking about her own work, in that, by the way, my cider has a mousy flaw, so don't think I'm a cider maker, still a cider enthusiast. That happens even to the best, so no worries about that. If you want to become a cider maker, I think you will. But what I'm really impressed at is by this woman's passion and what she has already done this year for cider in Russia, and that this tight-knit community of makers, some of which that are all part of this 4-part series, are making a standing and in a society and culture where there is no cider to be had for the most part. There's very few cider makers. When you think of the U.S., the size of the U.S., we have like over 1,000 commercial makers right now and just as many waiting to come online. But for the size of Russia, I think it's maybe somewhere about 30 makers in total in all of Russia. And there's a little bit of a division of the kind of makers too. So we're going to be hearing about that as we go into each part. Another piece you should know, as I go into each part one, part two, part three, part four, everyone was sitting at the table. So you'll hear each of them kind of chiming in. And I have just done the editing for these 4-part series to try to separate each voice so that I could give each brand and that brand's story their own special segment to try to make it as clear for you. But in truth, we were all just sitting around a table. And at this point, you know, Elena was being so kind and really, you know, holding out. And she was the fourth one to go. So I'm going fourth first, and we'll take it from there. Let's all fill our glass and raise it high to starting a culture of cider for Russia. Okay. Oh, so I Love Cider is
my account.
Yes. Your account. Instagram. Okay. Yes. Instagram account. This is your email, and it's Ugly
Cake Cider.
Ugly Cake Cider.
Well, I don't think anybody else has that name in the world, so I think it's pretty good.
I know.
There.
I'm not sure. Is it good?
Why Ugly Cake? Why?
Because I have a legend, but I tell you later.
Okay.
Of course, every brand have a legend, and my brand too. I just made a cakes. I love to make cakes at home, and these cakes is always very ugly, actually. I don't know why.
Ugly by design? Or?
No. I try to make a good, big, pretty cake, uh-huh. Very beautiful, but I don't know why. It's always look like I don't know what, but just it have a good taste. It's really delicious. And I think that the ugly cake is kind of me, because I am a cake, I am nice, but I am a bit strange and a bit unusual, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I think that ugly cake is a good word to describe my cider, because it's awesome.
I'm sold. I love that. What a fantastic story.
Yes.
It might be ugly, but you taste it, and it's delicious, and you have to set yourself apart, and that's what you're doing. That's really mm-hmm. cool. Oh, Ciderville, I know that you were looking for a much longer chat from Alina and hearing more about Ugly Cake Cider. But for now, we just have to hold on and wait for part 2, part 3, and part 4, because all the makers are sitting around the table, as you could kind of hear them laughing and enjoying the conversation. But what is poignant about this particular snapshot about her work is that she picked a name that was so uncanny, so out of the box, it makes you pause. And if there's one thing that you could take away from this conversation today, is that choose your names carefully so that your brand name stands alone. Sometimes it takes someone like Alina Loktava to show us a different path. You can follow Alina on Instagram at ilovecider. There'll be links in the show notes to this here episode 232. If you're expecting a little bit more from the maker, well, I have an extra just for you. A new audio snapshot from a UK producer.
Hello.
This is Susanna.
And James.
We are Little Pomona Orchard and Cidery. We're based here in North Herefordshire.
In the United Kingdom.
And it's great to say hello to you, Ria, and hello, everyone. Well, we hope you're surviving these very strange times. It's been odd, but at least good cider is keeping us going. So over here in the UK, as hospitality's been pretty much shut down, everyone's been still busy. There's a lot more bottling going on. And the good thing is that online, there's been a lot more action. So people are reaching out and finding new ciders to try. Our shop opened a couple of months ago. We've been working on new releases, and our cider club, we're really happy with that. So, but with our new releases, the most recent one is table cider. So James, can you tell us about table cider?
I can. We wanted to create something that was reflected really what we think about cider, which is its incredible drinkability and the conviviality that you get through drinking it with friends and family. So table cider was born of that idea. It's table cider in the form of table wine, not table beer. So it's a full strength, undiluted, bottle conditioned blend that we've created to reflect the season of its release. So it's supposed to be summer in the UK, but of course it rains a lot. But it's fresh, fruity, really, really, really drinkable, and goes great with food.
Earlier this year, we released Hard Rain.
Everything we do at Little Pomona is quite experimental. So basically a co-ferment of quince and apple, cider apples, later blended with peri pears. It's really tropical, really fruity, and everyone's really loved it. We also did one with just apples, and we hopped it from the hops grown on the farm where we're based, just across the road, in fact, in a field there. So, and they've been very successful. So next year, or this year rather, I guess we'll do some more, because people really liked it. It's super refreshing. Last harvest, Will, who kindly lets us make cider on his farm, we were talking about it, and he said he had some space on the farm where we could plant a little quince orchard if we wanted to. So that's what we did. So yeah, we're standing here. And it's a lovely site, so I hope they will. We'll probably plant a few more next year, another 50.
So it's all go over here, and we're sending you all our best wishes. We look forward to staying in touch. If ever you are over this way, please do come and see us. But in the meantime, thank you, Rhea.
And may the quince be with you.
Thank you, Susanna and James Forbes of Little Pomona. This is a beautiful cidery that I happened to get the chance to visit when I was there last year during the Ross Cider Fest. And in fact, they are scheduled for the England Cider Tour coming up in 2021. What they did was they're working with a local farmer who has a hop farm. So you go right out the door and these like giant trellises of hops, and they built this big old barn building through some grant monies. And James is really putting to task all his background history and working in the wine industry and kicking out amazing complex ciders of all different avenues. They're, you know, they're not allowing themselves to be boxed in either. So the Hard Rain Quince, from what I can see on the website, is sold out the 2019. And the write-up says, Hard Rain, made from the second pressing of apples with the addition of water, is our modern interpretation of an old historic drink, ciderkin. We also think of this as upcycling pomace. So they put it into the barrel, and then they combine Dabinet and Harry Masters Jersey. Those are two different apples, with two varieties of quince, and leave them to ferment spontaneously before bottling Pet Nat style. It's super zesty, refreshing, and fruity, and naturally lower in alcohol. So it comes out at 3.8% ABV. I know that they are over the moon for quince.
They don't have to go to the moon to find quince.
I know, Mr. Quince, because they got a lot of different varieties. And it was a little windy while they were recording, so I couldn't hear what they were saying for the varieties. We'll try to catch up with them again to just check in with that.
Either way, it's good news.
Like I said, they are really willing to like push the envelope on what Palms can offer.
Roger that.
Okay, well, I think that's it for now.
Want to let the listeners know about audio snapshots?
Agreed, Mr. Quince. Let me do that next. So if you have an audio snapshot like Little Pomona just sent, please send it my way to Rhea@ciderchat.com. And if you're going to be recording outside, do watch out for the wind. Your handy dandy little smartphone, even though it's a microcomputer, it really picks up sound well. So beware the wind, and maybe just grab a cider and step inside and chit-chat for me, and then I will post it to Cider Chat. Until next time, this is Rhea Windcaller and the Talking Palms, looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Cider, we like palms, we love orchards and having fun. There is a reason,
there is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet. We like cider, we like palms, we like orchards, having some fun.
There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Oh yes, there is.
There is a reason. We like walking through the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh yeah.
We like cider.
Oh yes, we do.
We like palms.
Oh yes, we do.
We love orchards, having some fun. There is a reason. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There's a reason why we do it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
Ba-da-da-dum.
Ba-da-da-dum. We like walking down the orchards, dancing in the streets, smelling all the blossoms, kicking up our feet.
Oh, yeah.
We like cider.
Ba-da-da-dum.
We like pond.
Oh, yes, we do.
We like orchards, having some fun.
Yeehaw!